About wisdom.
And we'll be in Proverbs chapter 15 this evening. I'll read to you out of, starting at verse 13. And by the way, we will have prayer afterward if you want to stay and pray for God to work. We'll meet up here at front. Proverbs 15, verse 13. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart the spirit is broken. The heart of him that hath understanding seeketh knowledge, but the mouth of fools feedeth on foolishness. All the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a stalled ox and hatred therewith. A wrathful man stirreth up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeaseth strife. The way of the slothful man is as a hedge of thorns, but the way of the righteous is made plain. A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish man despiseth his mother. Let's pray, and we'll talk a little bit about wisdom tonight. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for this service. Lord, you may be coming tomorrow or in a week or whenever. We would want this service to be a special one. We would want to be passionate about it. We'd want to respond to what your spirit prompts us. We'd want to preach the word of God faithfully. And we will want you to have met with us in a great way and remember what it was like on earth when we could choose to do right and wrong. And you'd meet with us and help us overcome our sin and our flesh. And Lord, I pray that tonight we would have a great service and you would work in a powerful way. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight I want to talk about wisdom of staying topside. The wisdom of staying in the topside. Optimistic, happy, hopeful, glad, and being positive and on the topside. I do think there are times biblically, and you look at the Bible, where, and I'm not teaching, this power positive thinking stuff. I'm not trying to teach an unbiblical thing. In the Bible, there are times of seasons of mourning. There are times of weeping and a burden of the Lord comes upon you. There are times of Gethsemane that Jesus had. And there's time when Moses had to fall on his face and weep before God for the children of Israel. And I understand that. There are times when you need to carry a burden because it makes you pray more and it makes you weep and it makes you have a burden for souls and go witness and all those things. And I agree with all that and I preach and all that. And we believe that. But I do think at the same time, a Christian, it's wise to not be miserable all the time. And Jesus said, I spoke these things to you that my joy might remain in you. And being on the top side is you're on the victory side. You're on the winning side. In 1 Thessalonians 4, it says, hey, the rapture is coming. Comfort one another with these words. And we're supposed to be optimistic and hopeful and glad and rejoicing all the time. And these are all biblical things, and we're not going to go all over the Bible and look at all those different things of what we're supposed to have. We're not even going to really deal with joy tonight, but we'll deal more with hope and gladness and these different things. And keeping in mind that there is a time to be burdened, and there is a time to carry a burden. However, you're not supposed to always be burdened and unhappy. But let me take you to Proverbs and chapter 15, right where we are here. And verse 13, it says, a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, and by sorrow of the heart the spirit is broken. And I taught a couple years ago, I guess, on the spirit of man and how important the spirit of man is. It's very important. The Bible says the spirit of man will sustain his infirmity. But however, having said that, with your spirit is very important. It can get broken by continual sorrow. And then you won't have the strength afterward. Because your spirit's broken, because you're always sad. Proverbs 17 and verse 22. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. And a merry heart is good, but a broken spirit, an upset spirit, something that's always down, is not good. And we see that. You can have a cheerful countenance or a broken spirit, Proverbs 15. And verse 13, a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart the spirit is broken. So we see these verses say if you have a merry heart, you are blessed and things go better and you're healthier. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Of course, we have studies now, and they try to get patients to laugh now in many cases because they find out that if you laugh, your health is better. And by the way, I just have people get miserable to death. I've seen people where they just got depressed and sad, and their health began going down, 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 and they eventually die. And because they have no broken spirit, dry at the bones. I think if one of the things that you see is happy people are healthier, and depressed people are sick all the time. And that's not 100% true. I think a person who has a 8-level health genes in them and immune system, I think if they're happy, they'll have a 10. And if they're miserable, they might still have a 6. And somebody else might only have a 3 system and genetics are just not good, but they might become a 5 by being happy. And they might become a 1 if they're not. Not everybody who's happy is healthy, and not everybody who's depressed is unhappy. However, it does do good like a medicine, and a broken spirit dries the bone. And unhappy people, of course, there's a million scientific reasons of what your body does when you're unhappy, and depression, what it does to your physical body, and all those things, but it just does that. And I do believe you have a choice into being happy. Proverbs 15 and verse 15, it says, "All the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that is of a merry heart, a happy heart, hath a continual feast." You're always happy. You have a continual feast. In other words, it's internal. And you can always be happy because of what's internal inside of you. You know some people, it just seems like whatever the circumstance or wherever they are, they seem to have a twinkle in their eye or a smile in their heart because it's not your circumstance. You have a continual feast when you're happy inside. And we see these things in the Bible. So just a few points on this. Number one, it is good for us to be happy. Amen. It's good for us to be happy. God does not command us to be miserable. It's good for us to be happy. Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 22, we read that, but it's such a good verse in what we're saying today. "A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones." It's good to be happy. Proverbs 13. Proverbs 13 and verse 12. "Hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life." You can see all of our Proverbs. The phrasing of the Bible is saying that God says if you have a miserable outlook, you're going to be bad and miserable and hopeless, and it's not what God wants. But if you have a merry heart, if you have a happy countenance, and even in this verse here, you know, it phrases it in so many different ways. But you see in verse 12 here, I'm sorry, chapter 13 and verse 12, it says, "Hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life." You know, it's that happiness. It's, I got what I wanted. And hope deferred makes your heart sick. That's why it's not good to promise people things and not give it to them. You fulfill your word. Because you really do damage to people and make them sad. And you can do damage to your kids and a lot of other people. And hope deferred does make the heart sick. It's good for us to be happy. And you got to work on it. Because life is going to bring things to make you miserable. And you got to work on it. I understand some of us have more natural, depressive, melancholy personalities. And some people are just happy-go-lucky. And I believe part of that is genetic, and part of it is your family you're raised in and like that. But I think the person who's maybe a little more of a sorrow countenance and a serious disposition can also be happy. And I've also seen the person who's always happy can become very depressed. And so some people are going to struggle with, this will be their struggling, this will be their besetting sin, but they might not struggle with lust or whatever. They're just different. We all have different things. And some people are by nature going to struggle with anger, and some are going to struggle with depression. Some are going to not struggle with certain things. And that's fine. And if you're of a dark disposition, understand you still need to be happy and hopeful and optimistic. If you're a self-kicker, some of the best Christians I know are self-kickers, and they're always down on themselves. And I'm thinking, you're a better Christian than me. And just down on themselves all the time. You know, confess your sin to God and then be happy because he forgave you. Don't sit here and kick yourself all the time. And you got to just choose to do these things. I'm very in the middle. I'm mixed. I do things very slowly, but I can get very depressed or very happy. But I know my triggers, and most things don't affect me, but a few things do affect me very quickly. And one of those things, for whatever reason, is troublesome phone calls and bad customer service. It's just my thorn in the flesh. I just don't deal well with it. And I've been dealing with this ticket that the stolen van, they stole our plates and ran the red lights and we got the tickets. I've been dealing with this thing. I sent off a whole packet of information, police reports. The van that ran the red light was not, the van that ran the red light was a Chevy in the, made in the 2000s. Ours is a 98 Ford. It was a panel van. Ours is a passenger van. Ours has windows all the way back. This one didn't have windows all the way back. Completely different bumper, completely different van, completely different make. Everything was different about it, but it had our license plate on it. I print up a picture of our van. I send a police report. I get all those reports. I mail it to them and dispute this and say, hey, obviously this is not the right van. Obviously, I got the police report. Our van is stolen. You can see it's not the right year, make, model. It doesn't have big open door Baptist church written all over it. It's not our van. And I figured, okay, that'll be gone and taken care of. And I get a letter back. We are rejecting this and you're still going to have to pay the fine because you don't have enough documentation. I said, I took two stamps. I mean, not enough documentation. And I get that letter and I said, oh, I want to call them. I thought, no, I better not call them right now. Let me sleep on it. Let me call them tomorrow. And so I called tomorrow and I prepared myself. And I went and I said, okay, I'm going to be happy. I'm going to have fun at this. And I can laugh about anything if I want. And so I decided to laugh about it. I called them, wait and hold forever. By the way, it's not the police I'm dealing with. It's a for-profit company in Ohio. Okay. And so I call them and I decided I'm going to be happy. And I walked in, everybody's in the other room doing school. And I walked in, I said, look, everybody, I'm on hold and I'm happy. And I walked back out of the room. And so I waited and finally get a hold of the lady. And I said, here's the situation. I don't know if somebody overlooked something here. It says it don't have enough documentation. I got a picture of the van. I've got this. I've got that. I've got the police reports. I've got da 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 da. And she says, oh, man. Oh, hold on a second. She comes back and, oh, I'm sorry. The letter said, you don't have enough documentation. In order for us to forgive you of the ticket and not charge you, you must give us the name of the person who was driving the van. And so I called her and I told her and I gave her the whole thing. And then she came back and says, you know, you can't provide the name of the man. And I said, so I decided to be funny and happy. And I said, you know, the guy forgot to give me his name when he stole my van. And so she said, well, yeah, I guess that's probably true. You didn't get his name, did you? I said, no, if I had his name, I would have my van back too. But I don't have his name. He didn't leave it for me this time. Or if he did, I forgot it. And so I was very nice and happy about it. And so she says, okay, hold on. So she disappears again. And she comes back and says, okay, we understand your van is stolen. You can't get the name. But the problem is we can't take this off because the police report is after the ticket. And I said, okay. I said, do you have a lot of circumstances where you have somebody fill out a police report before their van is stolen? And she said, well, no. I said, well, have you ever had somebody fill out a police report before their van was stolen so that they can have their ticket forgiven when they run a red light with the van they stole? See how nice I was? Wasn't I nice? Aren't you proud of me? And she goes, can you hold on? Hold. She comes back. We're sorry, but because the police report was after the van was stolen, we're just not going to forgive this ticket. And I said, okay, I think I'm running out of niceness here. Okay, thank you. And I hung up. I chose to be happy and have fun with it. Oh, I take it back. I said, can I talk to the supervisor? She says, there's none available. I said, well, have them call me back. They called me back this morning and said, we're sorry, we can't forgive this. The report is afterward. So I called them back. And we've been going through this process. They said, we're sorry, Puyallup gives us very strict rules, and there's no way we can forgive this because the police report was written after the picture was taken. I said, even though that is obviously not my van. And they found that van with my license plate on it, with a VIN ground off in Federal Way. Nope, we can't forgive it because it was afterward. And so so I decided, you know what? I would call Puyallup. I talked to the police. And I said, I talked to the traffic police sergeant there at Puyallup. And I said, can I tell you the whole situation here? I said, here's the thing, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I've got this information. I got a picture. I've got the police reports. I've got all this information. And he said, they wouldn't forgive that ticket? I said, no, they said your rules are very strict and you don't allow them. He says, that is not true. And I'm going to call them and deal with this thing. I said, good. I said, it's good to talk to somebody reasonable. He said, if you have all you say you have, we'll forgive your ticket. I'll call you tomorrow. And I said, good. And I said, happy. Now, if he calls me back, we'll see what happens. If he doesn't forgive it. But you see, that was a kind of thing. Incompetence and no logic and incompetent people. That drives me crazy. Only worse could have been if I was talking to India. Then it would have been hopeless. Some guy who rides a bike to work every day doesn't know what a traffic light is and, you know, doesn't speak English. But sometimes you got to choose to be happy about things. Sometimes you got to choose, you know what? I'm going to prepare myself. I'm not going to let this make me miserable. I'm not going to let this do that. And so you got to choose that sometimes. Bad things are going to happen. Something's going to be frustrating. You got to still yourself, but you have to do that sometimes. Number two, we should be optimists. Proverbs 23, we're supposed to be optimists. Why not? We're going to heaven someday. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. We're supposed to be optimists because of the future. Proverbs 23 and verse 15. My son, if thine heart be wise, my heart shall rejoice, even mine. Yea, my reins shall rejoice when thy lips speak right things. Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. For surely there is an end, and thy expectation shall not be cut off. I want to say simply, those who live godly and live righteously, there's an end, and their end's blessed. And the end, I want to say, if you're serving the Lord, your end is good. Read Revelation 21 and 22. We're in heaven in paradise forever. It's wonderful. Our end is good because God is not mocked, and whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Our end is better. I understand there's people out there who are doing wrong and having fun and getting away with stuff, but their end is not good. So they don't have any optimism to have. Our end is good. The souls we win, the work we do for God, we get treasure for it. Proverbs chapter 14. Our end is better because we're serving the Lord. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Even in laughter, the heart is sorrowful, and in the end of that mirth is heaviness. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. Our end is better. Proverbs chapter 20. And verse 21. An inheritance may be gotten hastily at the beginning, but the end thereof shall not be blessed. The end is not to look forward to. Somebody might go steal and get away with dishonest things and might do the wrong thing and think they're going to be happy and fun, but the end is not going to be good. And when you do right, and sometimes you do the honest thing. Have you ever done the honest thing in integrity and it made you have to do extra or lose money or be inconvenienced and it's not fun and you don't feel good at the time and you feel frustrated, but you're going to do what's right? I want to say, if you do somewhere along the way, in the end, you are going to be blessed and you should look forward to God blessing you for doing the right thing. That's God's way. And that's the way it's supposed to be. The sinful way is pessimistic. Proverbs 24. We should be optimists. Our end is better, and also because a sinful way is pessimistic. So there's two different dispositions here. There's the pessimistic and there's the optimistic. And obviously, whenever Proverbs talks about it, optimistic is godliness and pessimistic is because you have bad coming for what you did. Proverbs 24, verse 14. So shall the knowledge of wisdom be unto thy soul when thou hast found it. Then there is a reward, and thy expectation shall not be cut off. Your expectation doesn't get cut off. Look at Proverbs chapter 10. We're optimistic. See, but here's what I understand. I understand this in life where you've tried to do the right thing, and all of a sudden you ran into health problems, financial problems, emotional problems, relationship problems. I understand that. So pretty soon you start thinking everything's always going to go wrong. It looks like the wicked are doing well. It looks like bad people are getting away with it. And it looks like your bad relative is doing well and you're doing terrible. And all those things, if we don't remember that God is keeping score, and in the end everything's balanced out, we get pessimistic. You know crooked people who are doing well. And yet, the end of it, they don't know it, but their end is not going to be good. And we may not see it, but our end is good. If we be not deceived, God is not mocked, if we stay on the right track. And so we should be the ones who are happier because we know we've done the right thing and good things are coming. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 28. The hope of the righteous shall be gladness, but the expectation of the wicked shall perish. Gladness is our end. And I, as we've talked about with our anniversary of the church coming up, one of the things is me holding on to this is, God, you said in the end we're blessed if I do the right thing. And Lord, I don't see how it's going to be blessed. I don't see any hope. I don't see anything. But we see it now, and we're looking forward to the seeds we planted and what Open Door and what many of you have done and the work and the struggles that we've all had together, and to see what the Lord is going to do because we believe we've done the right thing. And in the end, we will have gladness if we stay on the right path and do what God wants us to do. So number one, it's good for us to be happy. Number two, we should be optimists, and it's good for our health also. Number three, live where the top side is a result. Live where the top side is a result. Let's go to Proverbs 3. In other words, there are places and lifestyles and people that keep you on the top side. I hope you understand and that there are certain people who make you miserable. As a matter of fact, they're miserable, so they try to take you there. It's a strange thing. Misery loves company. It's very true. And there are certain people, no matter, you can just have the best day of your life. You meet them, and they're Eeyore. It's not going to go good. It's probably going to go bad. Oh, I shouldn't have got up this morning. I mean, it's just, hey, the church is doing great. We'll see how long that lasts. I mean, yeah, I got a new job. Well, I'd wait till I get through the first week before I liked it. I heard about somebody who got a job, and at their first job, when they went to work, they got their arm cut off at work. And they, you know, I mean, there's always something bad that's going to happen. And they can bring you down. And don't hang around those people. I mean, I'm not saying live in la-la land and don't live in reality. I mean, there is reality. And there are things to be careful about. I understand all that. But also, we have gladness and hope. And we should live there and live where the top side is. First of all, live with wisdom. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 13, happy. Now, I know we put joy way above happiness, and I believe that, and happiness can come and go, but here's, God is going to use the word happy several times here. Happy, just plain old, I'm happy. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. Wisdom makes you happy. Proverbs 3:8, verse 18. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. I hope you've got to the point in life where you are happy because you're not as dumb and put yourself through as much pain as you used to. I'm happy I don't make the dumb decisions I used to as often. And I hope you are happy because you know better now. You have any things in life that I did were painful and dumb and brought out pain in the end? Happy is the man that finds wisdom. When you learn God's way of life and you learn how to see life through God's eyes, you're just a lot happier because you're not putting yourself through the grinder. And you're able to help people not go through the grinder. And these things are wonderful. And wisdom keeps you where top side is. Next, another thing that helps us stay on the top side is helping poor people. Proverbs 14. Proverbs 14 and verse 21. He that despiseth his neighbor sinneth, and he that hath mercy on the poor, happy is he. He that hath mercy on the poor, happy is he. There's not a lot of explanation there, but I want to say this. Misers are unhappy people. And the stereotype you used to see on an old movie from the 60s where the person is the mean banker who's trying not to give anybody any money and the Scrooge type. I understand those aren't real. But those are the unhappy people. Greedy, people who have a lot of money, they aren't happy. And people who help poor people, they're blessed. And people who help poor people, they are happier. It is a good feeling when you help somebody who needs your help. And that's where happiness is helping poor people and with wisdom. Misers are miserable people. Number three, where is happiness? It's in trusting the Lord. And this is a big one because when you're not trusting God, you're not as happy. Proverbs 16, trusting the Lord. And verse 20, Proverbs 16. He that handleth a manner wisely shall find good, and whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. You trust in God. You know, do you know when you trust God, life's carefree? When you trust God, life's carefree. You don't have to worry. I mean, all things are going to work together for good. You don't have to be stressed out. You don't have to be worried about everything. You don't have to be. Because why? You trust God, and you know that you're in God's hands. And trust in the Lord brings happiness. You know, some people are very depressed about the condition of our nation, and I think you should have a burden for our nation and pray for it and fast for it and all those things. However, I think that if you have hope in the Lord, that the Lord can bring revival again, I think you're happy. And know that God's going to win in the end, and the Lord knows what he's doing. You trust God. You know he knows what's happening, just for example. Next, the top side is in trust in the Lord, but it's also in keeping what the Bible says. Proverbs chapter 12, keeping what the Bible says. In verse 25, heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad. That's somebody saying something nice, but also God's word does that also. And there's also Psalms, Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18. That one there is certainly someone saying a kind word, and we're not going to get into that. We have a lot of verses. Proverbs 29, verse 18, where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. And so you're happy when you keep the Bible. And the Bible works. The Bible simply works. And it makes you happier. It's a better way of life. And many of you can testify to that, having been in both places. Next, what makes you happy? Following the Lord. Let's turn to Psalms. Just had to go to Proverbs for a moment here. Following the Lord. Following the Lord. Psalm 144. And verse 15, happy is that people that is such a case, yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. You're happy. You're just a happy person. And then 146 and verse 5, happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Happy. Happy. And you just are happy. One last thing I want to say in this. So those are the things to live where the top side is and do those, be in those positions. Be wise, help poor people, live in the Bible and follow God. All those things will make you happier, and it's a better way of life, and there's hope in all those things. That's the last thing. Don't try to make yourself miserable. Let me take it to Psalm 127. And you say, why would somebody try to make themselves miserable? I don't know, but a lot of people do. I think sometimes they feel guilty about something because they don't feel like God has forgiven them, maybe, and they feel like they need to do some type of, suffering to make them not feel bad about themselves because they haven't grasped the mercy and love of God that is clean and washed away. And maybe that's the reason. Maybe there's some other reason. Maybe it's just where the parents made them feel about themselves. But they want to feel bad about themselves, and they feel good when they make themselves feel bad. And don't make yourself miserable. I want to say this. Life will give you plenty of burdens and misery. Don't add to it. Jesus said, these things have I spoken unto you that in me ye might have peace. In this world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. John 16:33. Don't try to make yourself miserable. You will have enough burdens and heartaches and enough motions up and down in your life that you will be looking forward to heaven by some point in your life. It's normal. Man that is born of woman is a few days full of troubles. I mean, we have lots of problems. And look at Psalms 127, verse 2. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Okay? Eat the bread of sorrows, get up early, stay up late. There used to be a group of people called the ascetics, and they were 300s, 400s, and they decided that the only way to be spiritual was to really make yourself terribly, terribly miserable. And these people would do all kinds of crazy things and just to make themselves miserable. And they kind of had competitions with the, I mean, it was kind of like, who is the most miserable guy on the planet who's making himself suffer the most? And one guy decided, I'm going to live on top of this pillar. I'm never going to come off this pillar. And his name is Simon the Pillar Saint. I think he stayed 70 years on top of this pillar. I mean, never came off it for anything for 70 years. Another guy spent his entire day just bowing down, bow, thousands of times a day, just bowing. Another guy would go without any clothes on out in the swamp and let every mosquito and every bug bite him and never swat one off. And because he wanted to suffer and show how spiritual he was, because he needed to suffer for his humanity. I don't call it suffering, I call it stupidity. And they did not impress God, and nobody in the Bible. Paul said, I die daily. That doesn't mean you walk naked in the swamp, okay? And so these people would do this. There is no reason to make yourself miserable. If you did wrong, God can do it unless he chooses to be merciful. Your flesh is going to do it because you're going to eventually get aches and pains, and because this world has troubles, and because people drive terrible, and people don't forgive your tickets. And life is going to cause these things. Your kids aren't going to be perfect, and there's worries, and there's terrorism, and there's your politicians. You keep on thinking that one's going to fix everything, and they never seem to. And all these things come, and all these things are depressing, and your company closes. Do you understand? Sometimes you need to get up early. This verse is not saying never get up early, never stay up late. He giveth his beloved rest. No, there are times, you read, Paul says we were laboring night and day. There is a time when you do it because you need to, but you don't do it to make yourself suffer. You do it because it needs done. I've had many, 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 many nights where I decided to work through night and I never got to sleep for days. Many times I've done that. I didn't do it because I was saying, I'm going to go make myself miserable. Yes, I was miserable, but I just had to do it. I'm going to go breathe every flu bug I can just to make myself get sick and so I can suffer for my sin. Listen, you might get the flu anyway, even if when you try to be healthy. It doesn't matter. I heard a hilarious study. They just found out, contrary to everything everybody thinks, it is a massive study, and they found out that the more people you come in contact with, the less likely you are to get sick. That's the latest study. And I think they said the people that came in the least contact with people, they were the sickest people. And I think they said there's a number like over 260 people a week. You are far less likely to get sick. And I don't know, they don't know the why yet, but this big study found out with that case. So keep coming to church. And use the hand sanitizer because we don't want to be miserable. But I said this, don't try to make yourself miserable. Don't kick yourself all day. That's Satan trying to kick you when you're down. God wants you to rejoice because your sins are forgiven. Because God loves you. Because you have heaven. He wants you to have hope. Hope now by the faith, hope, and charity. But the greatest of these is charity. Hope is along with faith and love. God wants you to be comforting one another with these words. Listen, we've got heaven as our home. We've got God as our Savior. We've got our sins forgiven. We've got a God, a Father in heaven who loves us. We've got eternity and bliss. You don't need to be moping around. And if you're sad and bad things happen, okay, sorrow's fine. Cast it on the Lord and give God your sorrow. But don't make yourself miserable by, one, kicking yourself and trying to make it so you feel like you have to suffer in some way to be okay. Listen, you're in Seattle. It's going to have enough rainy days and bad sports teams to make you miserable, okay? You don't need to make yourself miserable. And then, secondly, don't live a life that's going to make a miserable end. Life's hard enough when you're not stupid and foolish and making bad decisions. You just add to a hard life. When you make good decisions, you're happy. And so the wisdom is the one on the top side. Of, yes, today I'm having a bad day and I'm kind of down. Okay, that happens sometimes. But in general, there's a happiness and hope and optimism in a Christian. Because if the worst comes to worst and everything goes wrong and everything falls apart in your whole life, you're going to live for trillions of years in paradise. Amen? Amen? There's a reason to have hope and be happy and not be miserable. Life has enough misery without making it more miserable. And life's not too bad for us in America. We're pretty blessed. Let's bow for prayer. Father, help us to live in the top side. Help us to follow the wisdom of that and to realize that a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. And happy is the man that finds wisdom. Please, Lord, help us live.